Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Just wanted to personally say thank you for that gift that was given to us earlier. And I love you, and I'm glad and that I can serve you as your pastor, and it's an honor and a joy to do so. But if you want to open up your Bibles to John chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 4 through 5, or 4 through 9 this morning. Please excuse my voice if I cough every now and then. Don't worry, it is not COVID, I know that for sure, but please excuse my voice. We're doing a short Christmas series in John 1, looking at John's introduction of Jesus. And last week we learned all about Jesus as the Word, and now this week we're going to learn how Jesus is the light. And through this text we will once again marvel at the majesty of the Son of God who came and was born on this earth. So John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. So there's something about lights that we love, isn't there? Especially this time of year when you see all the beautiful Christmas lights as you go around. The other night, Kate and I decided to take the kids and drive around at night and just see all the Christmas lights in different neighborhoods and the joy that the boys I had, and just looking around, and they would always be like, wow, look at that, and they got the big blow-up Santa, and big blow-up different things, and they liked to see those, and the different lights, and they enjoyed those, but I love the Christmas lights, and when it comes to Christmas lights, you have a bunch of different types, don't you? You have the traditional sort of like whitish, yellowish kind, but you also have the colored kind. Those are always neat. But you also have a third type, is the blinking lights. Anyone like the blinking lights? Some people don't like them. Some people love them. And you also have some people set their blinking lights to music. I don't know if you've ever seen this, that the lights blink to the sound of the beat of the music. And those are always neat as well. At my in-law's previous home, they lived near this one house that went all out in their front yard. Just so imagine just someone's front yard just completely taken up with outside Christmas decorations and lights, and it would just light up the whole neighborhood. People would come and stare at it for a while, and it was just neat to see. And so there's just something about light that we're attracted to when it's dark, of course. When you're driving, your eyes go right to that house that's lit up with the Christmas lights. Our eyes instantly dart to the light. Well, this morning, we will look at someone who is the light. And as believers, we can't help but look at him and keep looking at him. And so let's read what the Bible says. John 1, 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So this passage talks a lot about light, doesn't it? But it also shows us something about the darkness, because we were told that the light shines in the darkness. And so this tells us something about the condition of the world. Along with the rest of Scripture, it's telling us that darkness is over the face of the world. And so before we can see our need for the light, we must see the dire situation of the darkness. That is, before you can see the brightness of Jesus, you must see the darkness of the dark. Now, what does darkness mean in this context? Does it mean physical darkness, like what we're used to when you turn off the lights? No, it means much more. It's used metaphorically here. It relates to sin and ignorance and hopelessness and death. The rest of Scripture kind of helps us understand this. Also, the context of John does as well. But you think of Matthew 4:16. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and it says this: the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And so here we see people who are said living in darkness. And do you notice it says under the shadow of death? But when Jesus comes to them, a light has dawned on them. And so this must mean more than physical darkness. Scripture elsewhere tells us that before Christ, we were in the domain of darkness. Colossians says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Peter talks about how God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so even in a couple chapters later in John, John makes this more clear of what he's talking about, light and darkness. He says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Hey, that's what we're just talking about right now. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And so here we see darkness is related to what? It is related to evil and wickedness, hatred of the light, who is Christ. The light is related to Christ, love of Christ, good works. And so that we see here the connections of what Scripture is talking about when it's talking about light and darkness. So just think about what it's like to be in physical darkness. And so imagine you're in the middle of the woods. It is nighttime, and the moon is kind of covered up by a cloud cover, and so there's not much light. You can't see at all. Let's imagine you can't see at all. It's pitch black out. What would it be like? What would it be like? So you wouldn't be able to see in front of you, could you? And so you would be blind to the reality and truth of what's around you. Because you can't see, you'd be tripping over things and stumbling and falling. And you're prone to danger, you're prone to death, because all it takes is one wrong step, one wrong turn, and you could even like maybe fall off a cliff or something and die. That's really what darkness entails. It's like blindness and death. And sadly, life without Christ is truly darkness. It's to be ignorant of the truth. It's to be alienated from God, to have no hope in this world. It is unquestionably the realm of death. And the Bible shows us that this is each person's condition before Christ, before turning to Christ. It is a sad and sorry state. Because it's this image of just wandering around in darkness, blind to the truth, living for yourself, separated from God, and having no hope in the realm of death. Do you realize this? That was the darkness of the dark that we were in before Jesus intervened. You see, Christmas reminds us that the light came to us, Christ the light came to us, and we say amen to that. But Christmas also reminds us that the light came for a reason, and that reason was because of our sin, we were in darkness. And so Christmas is actually a reminder of our wretched state of darkness. And before we can truly appreciate the light coming to us, we must understand the devastating nature of the darkness we were in. And we each experience darkness before we receive Christ in faith, but we also see really darkness as we look around us in the world, even now. Because we look around and we see a world that hates the light. The world that relishes and celebrates wickedness. But we also look around and we see a world that is suffering. They are suffering from the consequences of their sin. and they have no hope in this world. They're living lives focused solely on earthly things, and they come up short in having true joy. They are following their fleeting feelings, and it just doesn't bring them true contentment. And when it comes to eternity, they have no certainty of what happens when they die, what happens when their family member dies. And so this should make our hearts have great compassion on them, because we remember, first off, we were once in that spot, but we also remember, man, their great need for Christ, because they were just living in darkness, blind to the truth. You see, the truth behind Christmas, that can actually lead to evangelism, right? Because we remember Christ, the light, came. Well, why did the light come? Because there's darkness. Because darkness is over the face of the earth, of the world. And there's this deep darkness that our world is in. And we remember Christ came to be the light, to shine in that darkness. And so we're reminded and should have compassion on the dark world around us, because they are still in darkness. There, where we once were, we're stumbling around without the truth, stumbling around in darkness and having no hope. And so we remember that it is only Christ, the true light, who can shine into their darkened heart. And so thinking about the darkness isn't too fun, of course, but it's necessary. And it just really helps us see even more so the importance of the light. Who is Jesus? Because darkness is over the face of the world, but Christ the light shines in the darkness. Christ the light shines in the darkness. And so there's darkness, but Christ is the one who has come and shines into that darkness. And so this is good news. This is great news. This is eternity-changing news, because Christ the light makes the difference. Because in verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So how many of us could that be said of? In him was life. So for us, we're alive. We may receive life from God, but we are not sources of life. Yet Jesus could be said, in him is life, meaning he is the source and the giver of life. And this one who has life gave us life from himself, in himself. And so we see that true life is never disconnected from Christ. True life is never disconnected from Christ. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. And so the life found in Jesus, it saves us from darkness and death. And so this is why he can say, John can say, this life is the light of men. And so if you think about our dark world, the message they need to hear is, in Christ is life. He is the life giver that they need. He is the one who gives certain hope in a world just surrounded by death and hopelessness. Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so in the darkness of death, a message of life has appeared in Jesus. And so that's why Jesus can be called the light, the true light. He gives us light. He gives us truth and salvation. He shines the way out of sin and ignorance and death. You see, light in the Bible really refers to sort of life and joy and salvation. Think about the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So think about going back to that illustration of the woods. And so picture in the middle of the woods, but this time it is a bright sunny day. And so there's light. You can see. You can see around you. You can see what reality is. You can see, okay, there's an animal there. There's a tree there. There's a cliff there. There's a rock there. And you can see so that you don't trip or fall. And you can see the dangers so that you don't tumble off a cliff. And so we see light really pictures truth and life. compared to dark is ignorance and blindness and death. Well, Jesus is the light. He is the truth. He is the life that we need. So he doesn't merely bring truth and life. He actually is truth. He is life. And God's very life and light have come to us in Jesus, who gives us the light and life in himself. So think about it this way, is what is the source? So think about what is the ultimate source of life and light in the universe. Well, so some people would say, maybe from a secular viewpoint, well, you know, the sun is the ultimate source of light, the earth as the ultimate source of life because it gives us oxygen and all the necessary things to keep us alive. Well, from a biblical viewpoint, we would say, no, that's not the ultimate source, right? The ultimate source is God. So the earth and the sun, of course, they give us these things, but they are not the ultimate source. The ultimate source of the earth, the sun, life, light, is God. So we often think, oh, light comes from lamps and flashlights and the sun and things like that. But really, it comes from God, because you think the sun is a part of the creation that God made. And it's interesting, too, that if you look at Genesis, God says, let there be light, and there is light. And then he creates the sun. Isn't that interesting? So it also shows, look, ultimately, even before the sun, God was giving light to the universe in his special way. And so we see for Christ, he doesn't just bring some life or some light, but ultimately life and light is in him, in himself. So when spring comes and you see new life of flowers appear, that is ultimately from God himself. When you see a baby born or a fawn born, that is ultimately from God. All of life that you see in creation comes from him. And so what this means for us is that we can trust the life he gives us. We can trust that in Christ is life, because he is the source of all life. And so when he says, you have life in me, you can count on it, because he is the ultimate giver of life and light. Before anything was created, he even said, let there be light. And I love what John does here, of course, through the inspiration of the Spirit and how he crafts this opening, his opening of the book here. And if you remember from last week, he said, in the beginning, and it made us think of in the beginning God created. And you may think of Genesis and the creation account. And in Genesis, what's interesting is, if you remember, is it says darkness was over the face of the deep. And so there's darkness everywhere, and what happens next? God says, let there be light, and there was light. And now here in John, what do you notice? The same themes: creation, darkness, light. And what he's showing us is that in creation, there was this darkness over the face of everything, over the face of the deep, and God said, the light, let there be light, and it dispelled the darkness. And so now here we see the Word, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and it dispels the darkness. And so what I believe John is doing is by connecting creation with here with Jesus and the darkness and the light and everything, he's showing us that you think of creation, we see life and light come from God himself. Well, now spiritual life and light come from God himself. Both. Physical and spiritual life come from God. And so think of the love and care shown in this. Jesus has entered into this world, shining the light in a dark world so that we could have life. Means he didn't leave us in darkness, did he? He didn't leave us stumbling around to our death, but he came and became flesh. He came to a world just full of darkness and evil and suffering and sin, in order to, for us to see, in order for us to live, to have hope. And he only did it through his death and his incarnation, death and resurrection. And so we see only Christ is the true life and light giver. Like no one else can be in the same category other than God. Jesus saw us in darkness. He saw us grappling in the darkness on our way to death. And out of love, he acted. He came. Right? He acted in love because he wanted us to see. He wanted us to live. And he's like that flashlight that shines the way on a path to life. This is the way. In your darkness, don't keep stumbling. This is the way. And that's really what our world is. This world is in blindness and darkness, stumbling to their death. And Christ comes as the only light. And he says, this is the way. I am the way. That is a message that our world desperately needs in their darkness. Because living in this world constantly reminds you of its darkness, doesn't it? We see death, we see suffering, we see evil. And it pushes each and every one of us to think, how is the darkness of this world overcome? Like, where do I find life? How do people change away from doing such evil? How do I change away from doing such evil? And the world tries to give answers. They try to give answers for the darkness, but they can't. They try to come up with solutions, but they always fail. Because they look around and they see injustice and they become frustrated. And they see death and pain and they can become frustrated by what they see. And what they do is they look to solutions that they come up with. And they look to progress and change and education and laws and to change people's hearts, but it does no good. And what happens is they're confused as, why isn't this working? They look to medicine and science, but they still come up short in preventing death. And they believe that they are enlightened, but they are in darkness. And if you think about it, all of history is evidence of not only the darkness of this world, but all of history is evidence of the world's incapability of solving its own darkness. All of history is evidence that the world itself does not have the solution to its own darkness. And it reminds us that that's because you can only find it in Christ. The only true light that shines into the darkness of this world who is able. So how is the darkness of this world overcome? Not by anything but Christ the true light. Because you think only Christ solves the issue of death. Because he says, though you die, yet shall you live. He's saying, no, you may die physically, but hey, there's life. You actually have life after death. Only Christ can change hearts. As we become saved and the Spirit works in us and we become more and more like Christ Jesus over time. Even in verses 68, the writer still lifts up Christ. As he brings up John the Baptist, he tells us, hey, John the Baptist, he was only a witness to the light. He was not the light. There's only one true light, and he is supreme, and no one can compare with him, but only can witness to him. And he should be the only one lifted up as the light in the dark world. And even John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Because he understood that reality, that I am not the light, but Jesus Christ is. Now, of course, Jesus later on talks about how believers are now the light of the world as we're reflecting, but we are really pointing them to Christ, the new light, the true light and light. So do you lift up Christ as the only light in a dark world? Like, is that your mindset? Is that your life? Like, do you lift up Christ as the only hope for the world? Or are you looking for other solutions to the world's darkness? As you encounter those who don't know Christ, do you share him with others? knowing that in Christ is life. And so people need to know Christ to find life. As you look at the dark world around you, do you confidently believe, like when I see death and suffering, and that Christ is the answer? Like Christ is what they need. Some other things may be slightly helpful and temporary relief of certain things, but really Christ is the ultimate answer, the eternal answer that they need. What about this question? Do you actually live like Jesus is your only hope? Like, do you actually live that way? So like when you enter those times in your life that look like the shadow of death, do you remember that in Him I have eternal life? That even when I'm under the shadow of death, that I can walk and I have confidently know, I have a confident hope that I have life because I have trusted in Jesus Christ. In those times, we should be repeating what Peter said, but in the singular, Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. What about this? When you face trials, you remember that Christ is your light. He is guiding your way. He is the truth that you need. And you look to Him for the truth you need, even in the hardships of life. We should say like the psalmist, the Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. Remember those things as you live. Because the sad truth is we often live like Jesus isn't the light. We often live like in Him isn't life. Right, we live like He isn't what this dark world ultimately needs. And we shrink back from proclaiming Him to others. We timidly act like Jesus, people can take or leave Jesus and be okay. When we face hardship, we look elsewhere for answers and we forget about the One who not only saves us, but who guides us and directs us and grows us. And so may we all go back to the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the only, the one and only true life. You know, I was thinking we have so many opportunities to share this truth, but we don't even recognize them. We don't even take advantage of them. And it doesn't have to be anything complex either. You know, thinking about, you know, for me, I have three children, and so obviously my mind goes to, you know, sharing truth with my children. And something that I thought about, like, that I could do easily, or if you have children, or even you could use this as you talk to a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, and it's simple, is that this Christmas time, you see lights, and, you know, all people like neat Christmas lights, and maybe your neighbor has an amazing Christmas light outdoor set up, and it's neat to look at, and it's beautiful, and you can say, aren't those lights are amazing. That you have there. They really light up the darkness. Right? Did you know that the Bible actually talks about how Jesus is the light of the world? I mean, imagine you could use that for your children. I mean, it's just simple, like just connecting what you see with how Jesus is the light. You can talk further about how Jesus is the light of the world and use some of the things that I talked about. Use John 1 as you talk about further how He is the light and He is the Word. He reveals God and He came for a reason and all these things. And we need to take advantage of these opportunities and recognize the opportunities. That's the thing, too, is we say, Lord, give me opportunities. And yet we're not thinking through and recognizing, hey, it's right in front of you. Right? It's right in front of you. Use that to share about Christ. So our world is in darkness. But praise be to God, the light shines in the darkness. So this means we aren't left in the darkness, are we? We aren't left without hope in this world, but the light shines. It means it's shining. It's there if only people would look and see. And so it means also those remaining in darkness, they don't have to remain in darkness because the light is shining. And we see that the news of Jesus isn't some secret knowledge for a select few, right? It shines. It gives light to everyone without distinction. All people are able to hear this message and respond. But what it comes down to is, are people going to accept it or reject it? Because, it, you know, we won't touch on to this morning, but later on, a little bit, it says, hey, there are some who accept it, but hey, the world rejects it. Rejects the light. The light is shining, but they reject the light. And as we read earlier, it's because they don't want their evil works exposed. They hate the light. They like their sin. They thrive in living for self and wanting their own way. And that's the way that our sin-cursed world is before we turn to Christ. So the light gives light to everyone, and it's offered to everyone, that is, but not everyone receives it. So for you, have you trusted in Christ as the one and only source and giver of eternal life? Have you done that? The Bible is saying, hey, His message going out, His light is shining. But are you going to remain in darkness? Or are you going to turn to the light? John tells us, the light shines in the darkness, but he doesn't end there, does he? That's good news in itself, but there's even more. And the darkness has not overcome it. Why does he say that? He's showing us the light and darkness are not on equal ground. Right? So they aren't like two equally powerful forces that are just equally powerful and always going up against each other equally. Right? They are going against each other, but they are not equal. The light always beats the darkness. You think about creation, God, there is darkness, God says, let there be light, there is light, showing us that light dispelled the darkness. Like the darkness didn't overcome what God just created in light. Commentator R. Kent Hughes mentioned that in World War II, during the blackouts in London, on a clear night, a lighted match could be seen for 20 miles from the air. The darkness did not overcome that light. You could try this at home. Dark room, turn on your light. What happens? The darkness disappears. The darkness doesn't overcome it. And so we see the darkness tries to get the best of it. The darkness tries to overcome the light, but won't. Jesus, the true light, shines in the dark world, and the darkness has not won and will never win against him. You see this in the Gospels. Jesus is doing his ministry, and he goes up against the darkness. He goes up against the Pharisees, these workers of evil and sons of the devil, and they go up against Jesus, but ultimately, Jesus always comes out on top, right? And people reject him, but he ultimately comes out on top. So this is a good thing for us because it means in our battle with sin, darkness doesn't have to win, right? As you look around and you see a dark, sin-cursed world, remember, darkness will not be triumphant in the end. Just look to Revelation. You'll find the answer. Ultimately, darkness does not win, but God wins. And so we remember, hey, if you're a believer in Christ today, we are on the side of victory, not defeat. There's a battle raging, but the ending is set in stone. And so the darkness has not, will not overcome the light because light is always triumphant. Christ is victorious. We see that in his death and resurrection. We will see that someday when his second coming. And so this is a great truth to rest on. Just that simple thing. And the darkness has not overcome it. I mean, that's a great truth to rest upon because it means this battle isn't evenly matched. This isn't a battle that we need to worry about for the end result. This is a truth that tells us that Christ, the light, has always and will always dispel the darkness wherever he determines to shine. He never fails to do what he desires to do. I mean, just think about Christ and what the Word says about different things, and so you think about how Christ, the life-giving light, he entered this world. And he had a mission, didn't he? And he accomplished his mission to perfection. The darkness didn't thwart his mission, but he accomplished it perfectly. Right? We think about even Christ, the life-giving light. You have a lot of darkened hearts in the world, don't you? Every unbelieving heart is a darkened heart. And he shines his light and he changes the heart of even the person who we think, man, that person has the most darkened heart. And Christ shines the light in their heart and changes them. You think about even the early church experiences with Paul. Paul is, here's a guy, we don't even think about this most often with Paul. Here's a guy who was like enemy number one of the Christians because he was like the ringleader of persecuting the church, ravaging the church. And Christ, what? There's a bright light. And it shines and changes the heart of Paul. And we see that Christ's light changes the heart of even the darkened heart, the most darkened heart. And we think of Christ, the life-giving light, will someday conquer all of God's enemies, so we don't have to fret over the final outcome. And so we rejoice and we celebrate and we remember, even as Christmas is, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so as we consider this passage, we see that it teaches us that the birth of Christ brought the light to our dark world. The birth of Christ brought light to our dark world. The light shines in the darkness by coming to the world. That is how Christ has shown the light in the darkness. And if you think about it, that means for Christmas, what are we celebrating? We're, of course, celebrating Christ coming and the light coming, but we celebrate the truths at Christmas are really a celebration for the sinner. Means Christmas is good news for the sinner. Sinners like us who have turned from our sin and trusted in Christ alone. It is good news for us. I like this this quote. Author Sam Alberry said this on Twitter. He said, "Come all ye faithless, joyless and defeated. Christmas is for the weary, for the messed up, and for the broken. If your life isn't Instagrammable, Christmas is for you." Isn't that so true? The truths behind Christmas remind us that we aren't all perfect. Right, we aren't like a perfectly decorated room at Christmas. No, we were a mess. Right, we were in darkness. This world is in darkness. But it reminds us that that darkness led the light to come into the world. And that light shines so that we can have life. And he shines the truth so that we can live for him. And this is great news for anybody. Great news for anybody because we were all in darkness. There's those who are in darkness now who can experience the light of life. And so it's a great reminder that Christmas is good news for the sinner, for anybody. We're all sinners, and so it's good news for us all. And so Christmas reminds us of our dark world, but it also reminds us that Christ the light gives us light, and he has delivered us out of the domain of darkness. I think of 2 Corinthians 4:6 reminds us, it says, "God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is what we rejoice in this Christmas. We rejoice in Jesus, in the light of the world who has shone in our hearts so that we could see the truth, so that we could have eternal life. And that is just amazing grace. And so as we look around and see the darkness of the world, we're reminded that we were saved out of the darkness. He gave us light and life. But we also look around at the darkness of the world and we're motivated out of compassionate love to tell others about the light, the only true light that they can find life in. And so will you rejoice, celebrate, and proclaim Jesus as the true light this Christmas? Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would use your word Your word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that you would use your word to penetrate hearts this morning. That you would use your word to shine the light in a heart that may not have turned to you yet. That you would shine your light into their heart and that they would turn to Christ as their only hope and light life today. I pray that it would be a reminder for each of us of where we have been in darkness. And it would remind us of your grace. That we were once in darkness, but only because of Christ, who you sent, that we can have a life. Pray that we would always cherish and remember that he is that light. And as we live our lives, as we share him with others, that we would do so. Even this Christmas, as we think about these truths, just pray that you would grow us to be more and more obedient and holy to you as obedient children, and that we would live as your servants, reminded of your grace each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.